Bobby Dyko, the Demon Drummers of Parkdale at the Music Gallery. This next piece, also by Wasabi Dyko, is called Freedom Taiko Dance and is an original composition by the leader of that group, Shinobu Homa.
Celebrating 5 years of community broadcasting, you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM.
Music Gallery on CKLN 88.1 is supported in part by Labatt's Ontario Breweries and the media section of the Canada Council. My name's Alan Davis, and Paul Hodge is the man with the machines. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Broadcasting. This is CKLN 88.1 FM.
Hello, can you hear me?
Good. Okay, this is CKLN FM 88.1 in Toronto, and it is Mike with you once again on a midnight Thursday, a little after midnight. I apologize. We are in a new location, in a new environment, and this is all Canada Week. Right, Bob?
That's right, Mike.
I forgot to play the tape.
Yeah, start.
Okay, let's go right to the tape. This whole new environment just got me right off. Okay, CKLN, and
this is what it's about. This is what it's about.
I'd like to titillate the nerves there, the electric. I'd like to titillate the nerves there, the electric nerves are responding right now, and tell them that I'd like to go into a little talk.
Why use the word Bob? Well, first of all, it's not a word. Why use the word Bob? Well, first of all, it's not a word. Only when you use your mouth does it sound like a word. The verbal medium, spoken language. There are many other languages. Many other environments with linguistic and grammatical characteristics. To stress the electric language. I like to stress the electric language because that is the language we're involved in right now.
Linear and maintain a point of view in one topic, you know, Nikki, and look what happens. They can't maintain the linearity. It can't be done on radio.
This is the worst tape we've ever had. Heard and had run.
This is the worst tape we've ever had.
Please, then. Doesn't sound like a word.
They can't maintain the linearity. It can't be done on radio.
Broadcast of the universe under electric conditions.
interstellar James Bond. It is that time again.
Thanks, Mike.
How are you feeling, Bob?
Feeling, tense.
Tense?
Yeah, because I've never been in this situation before. I'm suspicious of it. You know, in this angle on looking at you, you get used to a certain perspective after 10 months. So let's relax. I'm going to tell you how to relax, how I'm going to relax. You move the tape forward while I explain. Now, we just played the Bobby song, right? Now, how did that happen? Well, my intelligence agencies caught some RCMP pinks celebrating about a month ago at some obscure warehouse down on Harborfront. And they were using this for their disco mania, for their bongo fury. So we managed to scarf a copy of it. And that's what I've got here. But you know what happened? My agents were listening to CFNY the other day. And these RCMP people, pinks, submitted this tape to the Ontario Talent Contest. In other words, they were taping me for 10 months, put together some musical background, and made this little 3-minute thing called Their Electric Kids. That's what they call it. And they claim it's done by Bobby Phenomenon. But when it was submitted to CFNY, it turns out the CFNY thought it was a group called Their Electric Kids doing a song called Bobby Phenomenon. And that's how it was presented. So they were taping me, they put together the song, and they've made the finalists.
Go
with
on.
This piece.
Go on.
Yeah, and we got a proof. It was on Monday, July 11th,
right.
Half of 22. So we're going to play...
Well, I suppose that's relevant today, being this an all-Canadian week, as you know, set aside. We should maybe point out that we have to play 100% Canadian content, and that applies both to our musical material and you and I interacting. We have to stay purely Canadian, so no conspiracy theories tonight, no CIA.
No, just RCMP.
That's right. Do you want me to go to this tape now?
If you got it set to the right angle, because I want to hear all the parts. Now, this is what happened twice on Monday, 10:30 in the morning, 10:30 in the evening.
Okay.
This is what the program DJs were saying.
Let's go to our
tape. Yeah, turn it up, because it's a bit low.
Okay, Bob.
Jezebel. Coming up next, our great Ontario Talent Search playback with a couple of finalists for you tonight. They're Electric Kids and Carl Armstrong.
Why do you use the voice exchange?
I'm really tired of the bar scene.
Around here, our beer.
Okay, our two finalists tonight are They're Electric Kids and Carl Armstrong. And this is the Bobby Phenomenon from Their Electric Kids. You're listening to the playback of the finalists in FM 102's Great Ontario Talent Search. Ontario Talent Search playback, that was With a Perfect Shadow from Carl Armstrong. First band was Their Electric Kids. Tomorrow, our finalists will be The Stream and Scott Little.
Monday to Friday at 10:30 a.m. and p.m., we'll play two more of 50 Great Ontario Talent Search finalists. Stick with the spirit as we announce the 10 winners to appear on our Great Ontario Modern Rock LP from FM 102 and OB, our beer around here.
Now, what do you think of that, eh? I mean, those pinks in the RCMP stole my stuff, put together a little single, and they're going to be on the top 10 album. There were over 700 entries. They made the top 50, and now they're probably going to be on that album.
Do these people know what they're getting involved with? That's my question.
Big trouble to get involved with. I mean, I'm not going to sue them, but we're going to be monitoring those profits and watching how the money is laundered. Because they need to prop up the Conservative Party.
Well, Bob, you've...
So what do you think of that, eh? I mean,
you've reached a certain level now of stardom. I hope that...
Out of my hands again, I had nothing to do with it.
You remember your roots, and you will come back and visit us.
No, I'll always be here, Mike. See, I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah. We're just, I played it as a promo, but we'll probably play
so
back...
So that means that... that my voice...
You were broadcast, our guest here could explain the technics of it. It's a satellite, Anik 3, did you say?
Yeah, Anik 2.
Anik D2. Well, that's right, yeah.
All over North America.
All over North America.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have the satellite...
yeah, that's a good point, Ken. I forgot all about
video
that.
Video Cipher 2, you can receive all...
So my stuff going on that level, of course, they mixed it up. They think the song's called Bobby Phenomenon, and the group's called Electric Kids, but the song is called They Were Electric Kids originally.
Well, that's all right.
So they're trying to play me down as content. They don't know I put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm the artist in it. Bobby Phenomenon's the name of the group, right? Okay, that's... I wanted to point that out, Mike.
Ahead. So now, where does it go from here, Bob? Are they playing this song again?
That was the... No, that was... It only gets played... They play all 50 songs every day, so I guess it almost takes about 2 months, and then they somehow pick the 10 top. Mm-hmm. I don't know who... Apparently, entertainment people pick these, not the audience.
Oh,
so it's a totally corporate conspiracy to prop up new pinks of Ontario and talent.
Well, if you have some judges that are sensitive to the electric environment, then perhaps you stand a chance.
Well, there's an interesting point. I understand the day that it was submitted... The person who worked with me on doing some of those things, a personal subgenius aide, got a vomiting attack on his home answering machine. It was about 6 weeks ago.
I think you told me about that.
Yeah. And we didn't know if it was related to the fact of this piece. But the day it was broadcast, he got the vomiting sound again on his home machine.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd been monitoring me enough to know that he was associated with me and let him know that they were the ones who vomited 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So there's definitely pink surveillance going on of our activities here.
That's the way the upper echelon deals with this sort of thing.
Echelon. The upper echelon. Yeah. I mean, that's right. I'm not putting you down. That's the way to say it because it's acoustic space. So it's echelon. Echelon is the old visual metaphor. All right. Good work, Mike.
Thanks, Bob. Do you want to introduce our guest?
Not yet. I want to. I have to say a couple of things, and then want to do some Canadian content.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is Canadian content now, isn't it?
Yes.
What you're about to do. What was that?
There goes the old RCMP tape down the bin. What we have here is there's been some questions about what does Bob do in his leisure time. Now he has a lot more being chairman of the Secret Council of Ten. What does he do? Well, I'm working with the Axis on a recreational basis since they've landed, and they've developed a fascination for ball hockey. Really. And so they asked me to join in a league so they could play with this this game they find quite unique. Now, they find the cement wall an intriguing phenomenon because they live in a many multi-dimensional thing. And what's unique about this pink dimension is the wall factor. I mean, Joyce quoted the famous line, Balbus is building the wall in Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. He used that as an archetype, and the wall was a metaphor in Finnegan's Wake. So the Exus, these interdimensional associates of mine, have demanded to experience the wall. So they wanted to do it on a horizontal level. So they noticed that in ball hockey, you have a cement wall on a horizontal plane, and you have an orange ball running around with sticks, right? Sure. So they wanted to play this game so they could have immediate direct contact with the wall. Now, was that the Pink Floyd? Didn't the Pink Floyd talk about the wall?
Pink Floyd, yes, the wall.
So we introduced a team into the Midwest Ball Hockey Association, I think it's called, at the Bill Bolton Arena, and the name of the team is Concept Drywall. You see? We call it the Hornets as our technical term for weekly scheduling, but the Hornets refers to the electric bee aspect. You see, Captain Beefheart wrote about, on Trout Mass Replica, he wrote about the three stages, Ant, Man, Bee. You remember that
yeah.
cut? So B is the electric phase. So the Exus wanted to be called the Hornets, and they had to also indicate the sponsor of the team, so they made up this fake name called Concept Drywall, which is really their motive was to experience
the wall
on a horizontal plane. So I have these Exus playing with me in this league, and we on the surface are losing every game because we don't want to draw too much of attention to ourselves. But the incredible ESP and psychic level of hockey that's going on while we're playing is not even noticed by the referees.
Yes, but wouldn't you draw even more attention to yourself because you are losing every game? You're not winning.
Did you say we'd lose touch? I didn't get
you. No, you're losing every game. as you say.
Yeah, on a physical basis.
Yes,
but see, we have to
draw more attention to yourselves, being that you are losing all.
Oh no, no, the Pinks have to win, and they don't care. They only care about winning people. You know, they don't care about losers. So we're in last place. But the point is that the incredible changes in the universe that are going on politically, emotionally, and spiritually, as these exes get to play concept drywall ball hockey at the Bill Bolton Arena every Tuesday night and Wednesday night, they are mutating on alchemical levels, all levels and stages of consciousness just by their presence. So the score has nothing to do with it. So that's what Bob does on his spare time.
He plays ball hockey.
Plays ball hockey with the exes at Bill Bolton Arena. So come on out and see him. They're called the Hornets. I think the next game is next Tuesday, 8 o'clock.
You're making yourself very accessible these days. Is this a new public relations campaign you're
Well, because I'm chairman of the Secret Council 10, I'm like the Reichmans. You know, the Reichmans you saw in the Toronto Star last week were the third richest group in the world, apparently. All right? They don't have any bodyguards. Now, they are vulnerable people because they don't have as much power as I do, and they don't need bodyguards. And if I control the Secret Council of 10... then definitely I have my fingers on all terrorist outlets and units, and I can make sure they're not coming directed at me. So before, you know, up till March when I got elected, I had to be very careful, and we had my bodyguard Ian here. But Ian doesn't have to come around anymore because I'm in control of the whole macro universal discarnate man state that we're experiencing as media ecology. So that's what I wanted to mention. All right, introduce our guest for Canadian content.
Well, yeah, we should, you know, just as a sign of, you know, as an example of what you were talking about, of a sign of blind faith and trust, we've invited a listener down, and Kent has been a dedicated listener of Bob, and we thought it might be appropriate for Kent to come down tonight and to talk. And Kent has written a little something for Bob. Did you bring it down tonight, Kent?
Yes, I did.
I thought maybe you could
read. You wanted to read.
I think we should. Read over the air what you read to me over the phone last week.
Right. Now, this is Canadian content because we can't play Stang's tape, Stang being an American church
so
in Dallas.
We're going to talk and BS our way through the next 15 minutes or so.
And this is Kent, our local subgenius initiate.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Kent. You're on.
Okay. This is called Rant One.
Okay.
I'm having a real strange time tonight. It was nowhere near as bizarre as last night. Everything fell apart yesterday, and today I can't seem to hold anything together, but I can help others get a hold of themselves. Like I said, I'm having a real strange time tonight. So this is the subgenius JR. Are you really Bob?
That was it?
A high colonic for the masses? You know, clean out the shit from the colonization. You can't pick the terror out of the gods out of my nose and wipe it on my shirt sleeve. Don't pardon my rather expressive language or hold back a lunger and I'll throw it up onto your patent leather shoes.
Me?
Lyndon LaRouche. I think he's still alone. You know, he wants to colonize Mars. Not tomorrow. Or today. Plus yesterday. Radical insanity. Let's contact aliens right now. They're broadcasting on SpaceNet 3, you know. And my ex, she's interested in generic cowboys, wear polo aftershave and Stetson hats purchased at the Calgary Stampede. Generic cowboys, they've never been on a horse, but they saw them and they're driving their pickup trucks and, like a bolt thrown by the mighty Zeus, they were transformed into skinny John Waynes, saying pilgrim and pardon her a lot, wandering and wondering if these here parts could be crown land. And I think it's a communist conspiracy that there are these guys running our streets thinking they're John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. How come they can't be Sonny Bono? He's a fucking mayor, too. This is a conspiracy. Yes, how long do I have to wait to get some of that rolling satisfaction stone? I want to hear it all over again. I want to hear Oliver North throw in that videotape. 6 hours of Oliver Sweat. This is Congress. There's no immunity here, and I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, and this is the end.
Very good, Kent. Very good.
Well, I thought it was really appropriate that Kent come down and read this to you.
Yes, I didn't see the beginning part. I tuned out. You asked me a question. What was that line again? So this is
the subgenius JR.
Are you
Bob, or are you the anti-Bob?
Oh, it's a, okay.
It's a fair it's question.
A fair question. It's been discussed in the, you know, I proved it by snuffing Stang in that interview. Did you hear that shout-out with Stang on April 13th?
No, I did not.
All right, well, I proved that I was the Bob and that he represented the anti-Bob forces. But if you didn't hear it, then I've got to prove it to you all over again. Your content is relevant. It shows an addiction to CNN or something, right? CNN commercials? The Oliver North tape?
No, no, that was C-SPAN. I got that off of C-SPAN.
Yeah, that's what I mean, something American.
It's
there.
The Senate subcommittee.
Oh, this is so appropriate. So this is a Canadian addict to American TV and
no,
American figures like Lyndon LaRouche,
yeah.
And your response is you're frustrated, right?
Sure.
You sort of want North to come back.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come back. We need a great American hero like him again.
A retrieval.
Somebody to throw darts at or something.
Yeah, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
And
he just died.
Yeah.
But of course, what about Fawn Hall? I mean, if I can interject just for a moment.
Whose mother was Kissinger's secretary.
Yeah.
Secretary.
Yeah.
Secondary.
Let's not forget about Fawn. Well, Kent, it's I always like when listeners come down and, you know, just come on the air, because that's what it should be all about. I wanted to ask you how you were first introduced to Bob and how Bob has changed your life.
I was first introduced to Bob, I guess, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I found a pamphlet. From the Church of the Subgenius. And I've just been basically being a pain in the ass to anybody that's been around me ever since.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really too overly concerned with what their thoughts on myself are.
That's a good Subgenius attitude, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's self-protective. I mean, you realize you were Subgenius and you just realize the pinks were the majority of relationships you were involved with, right?
It's true.
Yeah. So that's a good protective device, yeah.
Kent, you work in the hospitality industry, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Do you experience a lot of Subgenius thinking in the hospitality industry, both with the workers and the customers? Or is there, again, a dirge of...
Dirge of normal.
Yeah. So a lot of pinks coming in and ordering pizzas.
Right.
And
you know, the tomato sauce.
The pink sauce, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, what's it like on the effect of CKLM being broadcast, or can we talk about that? Is that appropriate?
Oh, if you wish. The effects on the customers?
Yeah,
themselves?
Yeah.
It was great. I like watching them all just run out the store pulling their hair out. It's great.
Mm-hmm. To all programming, all types of programming.
Just about. If it doesn't have the Michael Jackson backbeat to it, they're just not interested.
Out there on the suburbs, and they're in the fringe, eh?
Right.
Though they could be pinks.
I think.
Who are shocked that the Bob energy is so close to them again. I think they go back and reorient themselves.
That could be true.
Yeah, I think you're indicating that the X's have landed by this kind of work. it's I think you're seeing a lot of fright.
Yeah, it could be.
May not be all pinks, because they're just not downtown. The subgeniuses are every realm of earthly factor. They're in.
Bob, you spent some time in the suburbs, didn't you, when you first came to Canada?
No.
Or you didn't?
No, I've mainly been walking. I hang out in the cosmosphere, you know. I live above the surface level.
Mm-hmm. I bet I saw you in a mall once. I can't remember though.
Oh, those were probably doubles. Was that about 6 years ago?
It was
81, yeah.
I was in junior high.
I came here in 82, and in 81 we sent a few doubles and robotoids up of me just to see how well the undercover work would work. So we did sort of have them walking around, doubles me, but it wasn't me. I was doing surveillance about 2,000 miles above the Earth. But isn't there something else we have to... Now, you have a question. You have some questions.
Yeah, I just want to interject as well. It's seen as we're in this new environment and we're not in our usual environment. The phone number is different, and maybe we could just, I mean, because we had a lot of calls last week, maybe I could give another number, and that number would be 595-1478, should you have any questions for the high epoch.
Yeah, 595-1478.
Okay.
Now, Kent has some questions.
Sure, and that's why Kent's here.
Yeah. The good little rant there, nice and slow. I mean, Stang is a little too hectic sometimes.
Okay, well, first off, what drew you to Canada?
It was because the, wait just a second. Come on in. We have another guest?
Come on in.
Just me.
Yeah. I had to come to Canada because in the battle for the final years to conquer the Secret Council of Ten, by 82, Dr. Beter's first strike was scheduled for September 17th, 1982. And because of my subgenius forces, we intervened and prevented that first strike, therefore alleviating the possibility of nuclear war in this plane. And this was necessary to prepare for the further tragedy under excess conditions when they would land in 1998, but they've already landed due to the electric speed-up. I had to fake and withdraw from Dallas, my headquarters, because Reverend Stang was setting up a situation to take over the whole operation, he thought, without my knowledge. But I thought I'd let him take it over since it wasn't valuable to operate in the States anymore. As you can see, George Bush is going to probably be president, and it's going to be very painful to be in the United States over the next 7 years.
Well, but I just sort of interrupt that. Gary Hart is looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think that Jesse Jackson had a tantrum today. He's leading into it's going to be a brokered convention, and I think you'll see Gary Hart be the candidate. But I don't think he's going to beat George Bush. I might have to switch my pessimism to a George Bush presidency because... certain things have happened that are putting further stress on me in my function as ecological control of pain distribution. But I did had to move to Canada in 82 because of Stang's efforts to prop up the Pink Forces there. And so I've been here since 82, and I worked through Bob Marshall for 3 years from 84 till 87 here, and then I dropped Bob Marshall and made myself obvious. So that's why, because Canada, see, Toronto is the going to be the new capital of the Bolshevik world government, which is basically a pink operation, if it can happen. So I have to operate out of Toronto. People don't know how important Toronto is on a global scale. I mean, it's no accident that the Queen is sending her kids over here to be educated, and the richest people in the world, the Reichmans, are here. Toronto is a very strong position, and they already got New York wrapped up. So look to Canada for future pink operations, and so it's more appropriate that I work out of here.
Okay, I see. Okay, now what happened on Tuesday, July 5th, 1988?
That's very interesting. Not 1998. You don't mean this subgenius thing. It's
1998.
Well, that's when
my glasses were broken. I couldn't see.
On July 5th, 1998, 22 years to the day after my earthly father passed away, July 5th, 1976, 22 years later, 1998, was the scheduled day, according to a historic time scale, of the landing of the Axis, which I had to be in power to be able to communicate to them who should be saved. You know, the Pinks were going to be wiped out. They couldn't be protected. But there's a whole one-third of humanity, which is subgenius, which... the Axis would not be able to distinguish from the Pink. So I had to be in the position of Secret Council 10 to protect the subgenius element. All right? This is where the Pinks, they call it the rapture, taking themselves out, but it's not a rapture in that sense. It's not at all. It's very interesting how the basic concepts in the book of the subgenius that come from my archives are filtered in through the trickle-down theory through all these phony cults and religions, you know, just sort of aspects of it. But due to electric speed-up, which only I knew, Stang and the boys at the church didn't know about the fact that under electric conditions we would live 200 years every 12 months. So the 1998 sped up till earlier this year. So the 1998 in the terrestrial old nature version happened in February 1988.
Right.
And the Axis landed, and to help me win the election in March, and now I'm in control, and pain is being distributed, and if you're not with Bob, you're in trouble. So that's the significance of July 5th, 1998.
Okay. Do you consider Lyndon LaRouche to be a member of the Church of Subgenius?
Yes. Stang and I agreed on that point in our debate shout-out back in April. I mentioned Mae Brussel, Dr. Beter, Herbert Armstrong, Marshall McLuhan, and Lyndon LaRouche. And he says, yes, we know them. They're all subgeniuses. But he doesn't know how to place LaRouche in relation to Mae, Dr. Beter, McLuhan, Cosmic Awareness, Garrett Dean, Club 22, Herbert Armstrong, and Frank Zappa and James Joyce. He doesn't know how to relate those, so he just kind of props up LaRouche as an icon. But I'm the only one able to orchestrate LaRouche's material in a properly anticipatory manner. So LaRouche is a subgenius, but he's a subsidiary of my work, so you don't have to be afraid of him. Just appreciate his information. It is a spin-off of Church Dogma. And know that I've got him under control.
Okay, but if you've got him under control, why does he want to colonize Mars, the red planet.
Yeah, now you heard me explain that. You're bringing up the question from 2 weeks ago. You asked me that,
yes.
And I explained that he's working on a subsidiary level of information, preparing those who don't even think of space travel.
True.
And so he has to make them aware of the concept of space travel, so he's propping up Mars as a colony. Now, the reason he's propping up Mars is because he's an American. Now, the Russians, as Dr. Beter has pointed out, 10 years ago, decided to make Venus the center of their intergalactic space empire. So Venus is the main operation for the winners in the space race, the Russian Christian Skopsky Group, an old Gnostic religious sect. And so LaRouche, as an American division, is working for Mars as a corporate image. He's aware of Alternative 3, but everybody sort of works on their level of information as a subsidiary of my corporate mixed media global information strategy.
Right.
And only in CKLN do you get the overview of all this stuff, thanks to Mike.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Lyndon...